In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and we're continuing in our series, Reflect the Glory of God in Prayer. We're currently talking about Jesus' seven principles of prayer. The first one, principle number one, we covered last time, and it's about any time is a good time to pray. And then we started principle number two, any place is a good place to pray. And we talked about finding a place of solitude. But let's move on to our next one, prayer with friends. In the life of Jesus, we see him bringing along several companions for prayer. One example is at the Mount of Transfiguration, mentioned in Luke 9:28 through 36. I love this one because Jesus brings Peter, John, and James, and they go up to this mountain to pray. And as Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came, overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And of course, the voice shows up and said, "This is my son, whom I'm well pleased." But the idea here is Jesus is taking along his close companions. I love this about Christ. He's approachable, but he reminds us of the importance of praying in small groups. You know, we should not be walking this faith alone in Christ. We should have brothers and sisters in Christ with us. The journey is difficult, and it's so much easier when you have companions. Another example would be his high priestly prayer of Jesus in the upper room in John 17. Once, Jesus rebuked his disciples for interfering with his desire to lay hands on children for prayer. Another aspect of principle number two, any place is a good place to pray, is praying in public places. You know, there's the ministry of praying at the pole. I'm sure you've heard of that, where students are challenged to go to the flagpole, gather in a circle with their Bibles, and pray for their principals, to pray for their unbelieving students, and to pray for the other believers there. Pray for our government. These are great challenges and great things to do, and a student should be encouraged to do this. But we need to be praying in public places, not in an obnoxious way, but in a way that brings glory to God, in a way that shows our love for Christ. We don't want to do this simply out of show and duty like the Pharisees. No, we should be praying heartfelt prayers, sincere prayers. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need more prayer in public places. The Lord Jesus Christ would pray before a large crowd and publicly address God the Father. And this was to demonstrate the unique relationship between himself and God, his Father, but it's also to demonstrate the importance of prayer in public places. You know, Matthew 11:20, this is an amazing prayer. Let me read it. It's in Matthew 11:20 through 30, also mentioned in Luke 10:12 through 15. "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." What an amazing prayer. And then Jesus continues. "And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seems so good to you in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is praying for people to come to him so he can give them the truth and the gospel so that they might be saved. And the burden he's talking about is this burden of trying to save yourself through good works. Jesus says you can't save yourself with your good works because your works are tainted with sin and they fall woefully short of God's perfect standard. And that's the amazing thing about the gospel. God forgives us, cleanses us, and then now that we're saved, we do works not to save us, but out of gratitude and thanksgiving. But Jesus prays all this in public places. Absolutely amazing. And this brings us now to principle number three. Pray for all decisions and events. You know, Jesus validates the need to seek guidance in prayer in anticipation of upcoming decisions and events. Seeking God's wisdom must never be neglected regardless of how big or small the decision or event. You know, James 1:5 says it this way. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So how do we pray for all decisions and events? Let me give you a couple. First, pray before significant decisions. One of the more remarkable passages is Luke 6:12 through 16. Let me read that. Now, it came to pass in those days that he went out, Jesus, to pray at the mountain. And he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And then it goes through the list. Now, what I find so remarkable is that Jesus is praying through the decision to choose the 12 apostles. I mean, think about it. This is God, and he's praying for the ones he chose. I mean, can't he just pick them and give them the power and away he goes? But it shows us this is thoughtful, this is meaningful, and that it's an example to each of us. Every decision, especially significant decisions, require prayer. So we can conclude that Jesus communed with the Father in a very specific way, in a very specific prayer about a single decision, even setting aside the priority of sleep. So he prays before significant decisions, but he also prays before significant events. In one of the most revealing passages into the mind and heart of Christ regarding his death on the cross, we see three prayers by the Lord Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. Let me go to this passage because it's just so intense. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. He's looking for solitude, but he has companions nearby. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. You know, Jesus is showing his vulnerability. He is transparent in how he feels. Guys, we need to do this. So often we kind of beat our chest and say we're tough. But the truth is, Jesus is not doing any of that. He's not pulling himself up by the bootstraps. He's letting his most intimate friends, whom he trusts, how he feels, and what's on his mind. Then he went a little bit further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I am so encouraged by this prayer because it shows me the humanity of Christ and that he has struggles too. Going to the cross is just unfathomable. None of us can imagine. We read the scriptures on this, but we really can't understand the pain, the suffering, the separation, the atonement for sin, the mocking, all of that. But we see the heart of Christ. This was difficult. And he prays before this significant decision. The verse goes on to say, then as he came to the disciples, he found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, a second time he went and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, If this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came back and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away a third time and prayed, saying the same words. This is heartbreaking, and it shows us not only the significant decision that lay ahead, it shows us really what Christ was going through. He had to pray three times and had to remind himself, not my will, but your will. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So Jesus knew what was going to happen, and yet he still prayed. We don't know what's going to happen, and we think we don't need to pray. There's a problem with that thinking. Here we have Jesus withdrawing first with several close disciples and then withdrawing from them to pray alone. We see how Jesus prays concerning his death on the cross for man's sin, for you and me. In agony, Jesus prayed fervently. Do you pray fervently? Jesus models for us how to pray in the most difficult of circumstances. That's amazing. So this is principle number three, pray for all decisions and events. We pray before significant decisions, and we pray before significant events. But this brings us to principle number four, which is pray throughout the ministry. In the trench work of ministry where people demand attention, you must not neglect prayer. No person or circumstance should ever take precedence over prayer. Whether Jesus is being baptized, discussing the death of a loved one, or even being interrupted by inquiring individuals, he prays. His ministry is characterized by prayer. So Jesus prays at the beginning of ministry, and Jesus prays during difficult times in ministry. Let me give an example. In Luke 3:21-22, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I'm well pleased. So we see Jesus praying. Heaven opens up, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him in bodily form like a dove. Between the baptism of Jesus and the temptation in the wilderness by Satan, we see Jesus inaugurating his ministry with prayer. So often, as pastors, we get so busy that we neglect prayer. And that is a dangerous place to be. But Jesus also prays during difficult times. And we're going to come back to this in our next session. So as you're thinking about prayer this week, what decisions are ahead of you that you have not taken before the throne of grace and mercy in prayer? What significant events lay before you that need prayer? What ministries are you involved in right now that need prayer? And if you're not in a situation of significant decision, events, or ministry, ask your pastor. Seek out those who are involved. Ask them if you can pray for them. Do not neglect prayer, brothers and sisters. The church needs it. You need it. The ministry needs it. So until next time, stay in prayer and reflect the glory of God in prayer.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.